Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. We pray and hope, we make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all of you are doing well and are in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. And mashallah, we have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio none other than Mawlana Naushad Attari hafizahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Mawlana sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And how are you doing?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, Mawlana sahib, jazakallah for being present over here today.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah. And we do have a beautiful topic of discussion, that is the infinite mercy of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which we will be covering different aspects regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with those deeds that can attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also those things which, if a person does, it deprives a person from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, these are some of the aspects we will be talking about today, inshallah. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, before we dive deep into our topic of discussion, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat, of durood, of salutations upon me in this world. So let us all collectively recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our forgiving Creator. He is our most merciful Creator. He is our most kind Creator. And we are bound to follow what our Creator tells us. Whatever is mentioned in the Quran, that is our guideline. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us, that is our guideline as well. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that I leave behind two things, and one is the Quran, the other is the Sunnah. For as long as we hold on to this, we will not go astray. So we need to educate ourselves on the Holy Quran. We need to educate ourselves and learn about the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since today we are talking about the infinite mercy of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know, when you look at a mother, Munasab, we see that a mother to her child is so merciful. You know, if the child has to fall down, if the child has to get hurt, even if the child has to cry, then the mother is always there to make sure that my child is okay.
Mashallah.
So, you know, bila tashbih, without any comparison,
right.
Our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is much, much way more merciful than even our own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, Mahasab, in life, yes, we know that insan, man is such that he always, you know, makes mistakes, has shortcomings, falls down, commits sins. And sometimes a person becomes depressed because of that. Sometimes a person, he cannot see the light. You know, a person who is committing sins, they would continuously be committing sins because now they feel that I'm already drowned in this. What is there for me now to get out of it? How can I ever be forgiven because of this? And subhanAllah, the Quran, it guides us on this matter as well. When the Quran says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, that don't ever lose hope, don't ever despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Masab, this is one angle, right? Where a person is committing sins, right? Drowned in that sins. But then when the Holy Quran tells us this, it gives a person a sense of hope, right? That, you know what? There is light at the end of the bridge. There's still light there. There is still hope for me. I can still change. I still have time to change. And on the other hand, we have some people who, despite committing sins, you know, theft, fornication, adultery, gambling, whatever it may be, despite committing those sins, at the end of the day, they say that, never mind, it's fine. I can commit these sins because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. Allah ta'ala will forgive me. So in this regard, Mu'asa, what can be said to such people, you know, when they only continuously commit sins knowing that there is a merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they take advantage of this fact?
Okay, so there's multiple things over here, right?
Right.
One is the person who is drowning in the swamp of sins and feels hopeless and continues sinning without turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's two things, you know, if a person has, then no matter how far they stray off the right path, they will understand there's a still a way out.
Right.
One is knowledge, authentic knowledge of deen and your environment.
These two things.
And there's other things as well, but these two are very powerful things.
Right.
Because the knowledge is going to help you identify and recognize the tricks of shaitan.
Okay.
Who else is putting this in the person's mind that you are the big sinner, there's no hope for you, so the person continues to sin.
Right.
Shaitan is encouraging this. He is making this person or influencing them with hopelessness. So there is no chance for you to repent because you are the great sinner.
So a person is under this delusion that there is no hope for me.
It's like a spell of shaitan. Yes. So now if a person has even the basic knowledge, they will be able to identify that no. My Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Which means no matter how far I have gone into committing sins, I can keep turning back to Him in Tawbah. I can keep coming back to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, shaitan, he plays his cards of delusions to make the person hopeless and to feel helpless, that there's no chance of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But knowledge can break this.
Right.
And the environment as well.
But then we have people, Masab, who even despite committing sins, still we see that they don't want to seek that knowledge. They feel that what is the need for me to seek that knowledge when I have passed that stage already? I mean, I don't need to go back and seek knowledge.
Yeah, so madrasa is going to teach you only to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
But the deeper understanding, the correct understanding, maybe when you were little, when you were small, you didn't fully understand it.
Right.
And so knowledge is something from the cradle to the grave we have to seek. And yes, shaitan has many tricks up his sleeve. And that's on one extent, that he tries to make a person's mind that, no, you just carry on down the road of sins because there's no hope for you, right? And another trick he plays, what you mentioned,
right?
Is some people, they say, Allah Azza wa Jal is Ghafoorur Rahim. Don't you know He's the most merciful? He's all forgiving. So, you know, He'll forgive me.
We can miss Salah, we don't have to read Quran.
So, you know, it's a trick of Shaitan, number one.
Right.
Number two, I remember our respected and beloved Ustad Sir Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, Allah SWT grant him a high station in Jannah. He used to talk about this very thing here as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he would say is people who think like this and who say these things, it is as if they are saying, Allah Azza wa Jal has to forgive me.
Allahu Akbar.
He's most merciful, all forgiving. He has to forgive me. It's as if they are saying this.
Right. In their actions.
Yeah, through their words. Through their words that Allah Azza wa Jal is Ghafoorur Rahim, we leave it to Him. So they don't worry what they are doing. So it's as if they are saying, Allah Azza wa Jal, because He's all forgiving, He's all merciful, so He has to forgive me.
Right.
So Allah Azza wa Jal is all just as well. And there will be many Muslims that are going to be burning in the fire out of the justice of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't work like that. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely, nobody is more merciful than Him. He is the all forgiving, but He's the all just as well. So how do you know that either He's going to forgive you or He's going to punish you? How do you know? Where's your certification? Where's the guarantee of your forgiveness? You don't have it.
Yeah.
So it's a delusion and a trick of Shaitan that so many people are trapped in, and we come back to knowledge will help one understand. It's a trick of Shaitan.
So that actually, it keeps a person remaining ignorant.
Ah, yeah.
Where a person thinks that, you know, they're doing whatever it may be, but at the back of their head, they know, yes, you know, indeed, and it's a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. But at the same time, as you've mentioned, that on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive a person for a sin that they have committed, you know, if they sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Rasab, a person shouldn't be basing this upon their own selves and upon their own whims and fancies.
If you're going to use your logic only, you will be led astray.
Right.
So yes, Islam is the most rational religion, the most logical. That is a fact. But there is that aspect of belief, of faith in the unseen. We haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have to believe in Him. Yeah. We haven't seen Jannah and Jahannam. We have to believe in it. So, we need to understand, as Muslims, we have a purpose. And there's a way of fulfilling that purpose. We need to understand a believer lives their life between two things. One is in the hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is in the fear regarding His punishments. Because if a person comes and says, and you hear this from people who don't believe in anything,
right,
that, you know, how do you believe in a merciful God when we have earthquakes and we have tsunamis and so many innocent people die and so many criminals are there and little children, you know, they pass away. So how?
Right.
Well, the person didn't understand in the first place that we have limited free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that ability to make a choice, right way or wrong way. We're not just robots.
Yeah.
You have the ability to say right or wrong.
The power of choice is there.
Is there, but we don't get to choose the consequences. So if a person continues sinning with this mindset that Allah will forgive me, remember, Allah is the most just, and true justice will be on the day of justice, which is the day of accountability and the day of judgment. Otherwise, many criminals never ever caught or bribe the authorities or escape from prison.
Right.
Where's the justice? That day will be true justice. Here it's relative justice. But on the day of judgment and accountability, that will be the day of justice as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice will prevail and criminals will be punished. And I'm talking about criminal activities, not like your normal criminal, that as
not
well.
Not these worldly ones.
No, that as
it
well.
It is a criminal act.
Right.
Right.
But we're talking about more than that. Missing the salah, lying, cheating, backbiting, being jealous, having takabbur or pride, and all of these filthy, dirty spiritual ailments that many of us have. So that too, there's accountability. There's justice for that. And see, some have mentioned that the qualities of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they both relate to mercy.
Right.
But one is related to universal mercy, and one is exclusive mercy.
Khas. Right.
So the universal one is for the entirety of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He still provides sustenance and food even to the one who does not worship Him. Even to the one who rejects that there's no Allah. Even to that person, he still breathes oxygen and air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
He still sends down rains, the rains of mercy. Where even the person who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or who worships other than Allah azawajal still has access to drinking water, food, shelter, all of these bounties. So that is part of the universal mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes the animals as well.
Allah.
Animals, Allah. The insects, they're getting their provisions, their sustenance.
Right.
And then one is khas and exclusive for the day of judgment for the believers only. That specific, specified mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only be for them, whereupon they will enter paradise. And then His justice will take over for the disbelievers. You had the chance. You had the time to believe. You refused. You rejected. And so you have to taste the consequences of it.
Subhanallah, Masab. You know, there's also one narration wherein it's mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 parts of mercy, and out of that 100, only one has been upon this universe, upon this world, and the remaining 99 will be reserved for the day of judgment. And out of that one mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that a mother is merciful to her child. We see that even the animals are merciful to the young as well. And we see that so many things, I mean, the air that we breathe, it is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our blinking, the blinking of our eyes, this also falls under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow a person to blink. And I mean, that will cause harm to the eyesight as well. And these are the things in life, you know, that a person sits back and just takes for granted. Whereas all of it falls under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under that one part. And then this narration goes on where the same one part will be joined with those 99, making it 100 together. Subhanallah. So, dear viewers of Madinah Insha'Allah, this is the mercy of our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two people amongst the inmates of Jahannam, they would be screaming and they would be shouting, they would be screaming loudly. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, take them out. When they are taken out of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, that what caused you to scream so loudly?
Allah.
And they will say, Ya Rabb, we did that so you would have mercy on us.
Allah.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that my mercy for you is that both of you go and throw yourselves in the fire Allah. Where you were. So what will happen now? They will go. One of them will throw himself in the fire of Jahannam. And on the other hand, the person who was also commanded to go, he wouldn't go anywhere. He would stand there and he would not throw himself in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that what has stopped you from throwing yourself as your friend did? Your friend threw himself in the fire. I gave you the command. why didn't you throw yourself in the fire as well? And he will say, Ya Rabbi, oh Allah, I was hoping that you will not return me back to it, back to the fire of Jahannam, after you have taken me out of the fire. Allah, Allah. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that your hope is granted.
Allah.
So in this manner, both of them will enter Jannah together by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as how you've mentioned, Masab, that you see one person here, he had the fear of Allah. And when the command came, he threw himself into the fire. On the other hand, the person did not throw himself into the fire. Why? Because he had hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both things a believer needs to have. Fear and hope. When you have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would not be committing sins. And you would have this thought at the back of your head, and it would always be with you that I am the most sinful of all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have hope as well, you are hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me through His mercy. So we have to live life in this way, with fear and with hope. Well, some people, right, we just went through the individual who, despite committing sins, and says at the end of the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. We've mentioned already that on one hand, yes, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, we also have the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Now, Musa, if we look at today's time, right? If a person is committing sins, right? Committing sins, and people see him committing sins, and they go and tell him that, you know what, brother, don't do this, you know, refrain from it. But the person still does not refrain from it. Eventually, he ends up drowning in that sins. And then one day, he decides now to come to the masjid, right? When he comes to the masjid, because the people know him that, he used to drink and he used to take drugs. And, you know, he used to do all sorts of wrong. He had so many premarital relationships, etc., etc. And now, in that duration, he didn't come to the masjid. Now, all of a sudden, he came to the masjid, and the people now seeing him, they know him, they gave him these funny looks, you know, the looks as if, what are you doing here? You know? So in this case, Master, in society, how does that get, you know, tackled? How does that get reformed? You know, in a sense where a person came to the masjid, we don't know what's in his heart. We don't know whether he repented or not. And we have people that look at him with this evil eye, with this bad look, and with this ill thinking of him. Perhaps he came, you know, having this full hope in his heart of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of their reaction and expressions, chased him again away from it. So how do we approach this, Musa?
This is actually called being judgmental.
Because
we feel we are the judges.
Right.
And we have a qualification in law. So we are the judges.
Allah. We can
judge anybody in that kind of a scenario. They're supposed to be happy that, hey, he's in the masjid.
Exactly.
Supposed to encourage him. If you're going to have all, you know, weird looks at him or question him, what are you doing here? What's your intention? If you are the reason that he won't come back to the masjid, you have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're supposed to motivate and encourage.
Yeah.
The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always encouraged, always motivated. We are those elders. I remember back in the days when I was little, you know, they used to say the elders of the masjid, you know.
Right.
So you get like 2-3 people, you know, punctual with their salah, the elderly, big beards, and, you know, they would talk nice and encourage the youngsters. But like, you don't find that these days.
You hardly find it now.
You know, very rare places that I go to, where you can find, like, you know, these elders of the masjid.
That warm welcoming. You know?
That warm, yeah, that warm welcoming, that compassion, those, you know, the encouragement from these. But anyway, so what we should do is rather, we should judge ourselves only. That will I receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? What if that person, the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has touched that person? And so, and now they've realized their mistake and they've changed their lives.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just judge like that. There was one buzruk, one pious person who said, I was sitting in the masjid. I was very punctual with my tahajjud salah. But once what happened was, as I was in the masjid making my adhkar, reading my adhkar and dhikrullah, I see a person walk in. You know, normal person, you know, not a scholar or something, normal person. He comes in, he goes to one corner, he's hiding over there. He's making dua and he starts to cry. I can see some tears rolling down.
Right.
And then in my heart, I only thought, this fellow is showing off, man. When he knows, he's a normal nobody, like he's not a scholar or something. And the buzruk says, because of the thought, that negative thought in my heart for another Muslim, I lost my tahajjud salah for 1 year.
Allahu Akbar.
It's in the books.
For 1 year. He...
1 year. For whatever reason, I was just unable to perform my tahajjud salah. Then I realized, oof, because of the thought I had.
Allah.
That evil thought. Who are you to judge? I mean, who are you?
Yeah.
You're not an angel. You yourself have so many sins.
Yes.
You have done so many wrong things before. In privacy, you know who you are. We know who we are. In privacy, in, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our reality.
Yeah.
So never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why you are chasing that person away? Why are you doing the work of shaitan? Shaitan must make that person hopeless in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, you know, no, you're too far gone. There's no chance for you to return.
And then they'll further put these whispers that, you know what face you're going to show now? They're going to look at you like that.
Yeah,
so even in that case, a person should ignore all of that.
Shaitan uses them. They don't, they don't even know it. But shaitan is using them. If you can't, if shaitan is trying to hit the guy directly, and now he realizes that, hey, got to change now. So shaitan, he breaks free from shaitan's traps and he goes. Shaitan will use somebody now.
Ah, through somebody to tackle him.
Ah, to tackle him. You can't get him straight. For a long time, I was getting him directly, whispering straight into his heart and mind. But now he's broken free. He wants to go to the masjid. He wants to repent. He wants to change his life. But then let's work through somebody, some musalli in the masjid to try and chase him away.
Allah.
Knowledge will help you to recognize whether this is a trap of shaitan or not. Don't become a tool of shaitan. Don't be used by shaitan. Many people get used, they don't even know it.
Yeah.
But they demotivate others. Youngsters come to the masjid, we must train them. We must teach them. We must nurture them. They are tomorrow's musallis.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're chasing them away now, it's like this one incident, right?
Yeah.
One story. Subhanallah, that the mother tells the father, you're going to the masjid, take your son.
Right.
He's 6 years old, 7 years old. No, he's still small. Still
a leave
baby,
him at
still
home.
A baby, leave him at home. Then after a few years, take him to the masjid with you, man. 9, 10 years old, he's still small. 12 years old. No, he's still,
he's still my, growing.
He's still growing.
Yeah.
Then we get to teenage years. Come, let's go to the masjid. No, I don't want to go to the masjid. I have other things to do. Who's responsible?
The parents.
The parents are the first teachers. What are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them to obey Allah and His Rasul? Are you teaching them their purpose in life? Or are you just leaving them? They're still small. Still a baby. So what are you treating them? You're treating them like that. You're teaching them that.
And from a young age also, they can be taught how to have a hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Must. It's your duty as a parent to teach these things regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to the understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
See the birds, they leave the nest and they come back. with, you know, food. The insects, the small ants, they run around everywhere.
You can see how they carry the grain.
They find their food. That's all to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
We get the rains, we have rivers, we have water. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these things, you can link everything up, you know, or these kind of things to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to train their minds.
Subhanallah. You know, also you're speaking about that part of not being judgmental, especially when someone already made that intention that I want to reform myself, I want to change my life. And they come to the masjid. It's not correct for anyone to be judgmental of another fellow Muslim, because at the end of the day, we don't know what's in their heart. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them because of one sincere tawbah that they have done.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, those who are judgmental, perhaps their lives or however many good deeds that they have performed has been destroyed because of having these ill feelings.
Mm.
You know, because of being judgmental and thinking of being superior to the person who just came and wants to transform his life. So it just it goes to show that no one can really judge another person. And also the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he mentions that the summary of this narration, that one who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy.
Absolutely.
And that is so beautifully mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how many of us, you know, Mu'asab, make dua every day, Ya Allah, shower me with your infinite mercy. Ya Allah, shower me with your infinite mercy. And at the end of the day, when we come across other people, and then we don't want to show mercy unto them, whether they are young, whether they are elderly, bigger than us in age, children, whoever it may be, a person does not show mercy to others. But in his dua, he's saying, Ya Allah, shower me with your infinite mercy. So in which ways, Masal, can a person, you know, show mercy to others in such a way that he can also be getting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, there's different ways, you know, to be good to others, to be compassionate, to be kind,
right,
to advise others, to empower others, to uplift and motivate others, to encourage others towards goodness and away from evil. There's so much of reward that's there. Even if, you know, you extended the call towards righteousness, you must regard this not as some great feat of yours, that this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Whatever good happens in your life, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Even if a person does a good deed, it's not through his own effort, it's not through his own doing. It was, he did that because of the mercy of Allah.
Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we must attribute it.
Uh-huh.
If I did a wrong, sins, that I will attribute to my weakness.
Right.
Anything good that happens to me, anything good that I do, this is only because of the mercy of my Rabb Azza wa Jal. So subhanAllah, we are dependent upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
And if a person doesn't realize that, and doesn't have this attitude and mindset, then the takabbur and pride can take over. No, because of, you know, I studied,
I am better than you.
Yes, all me, myself, and I. So you attribute anything good in your life, anything good that you do, to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything bad that you do, to your own weakness.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mu'asab has mentioned so many beautiful madani pearls, so many beautiful words of wisdom with regards to understanding the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if we want the mercy of Allah, then we should also show mercy unto others as well. Show mercy even to the animals as well. Do not oppress the animals. Do not just kick a cat anyhow. Do not just kick the dog. Do not just treat the animals anyhow. Treat them with love. Treat them with mercy. Your neighbors, your family, your friends, all of this, it will invite and attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the views of Madani Channel, we do have much more to discuss, and another beautiful way of attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through listening to the beautiful praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and listen to this beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will be right back to discuss further, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mera dil tadap raha hai,
mera jal raha hai seena.
Mera dil tadap raha hai,
mera jal raha hai seena.
Ke dawa wagi milegi, ke dawa wagi milegi.
Mujhe le chalo Madina,
mujhe le chalo Madina.
Marhame roo ja Madina.
Yeah. سو جا مدینہ ہے مر جائے سو جا مدینہ ہے
مدینہ
پھر سے پہنچے جہاں مدینہ ہے پھر سے پہنچے جہاں مدینہ ہے
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله what a beautiful and melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم may Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant us all the complete love for his beloved habib صلى الله عليه وسلم amin ya رب العالمين alhamdulillah dear viewers of Madani channel we are discussing the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so far we have discussed different aspects with relation to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at the same time we also have to beware of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and now inshallah we will go through some of those acts which attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, also, there are some acts, right, which attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we have salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this definitely attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we have doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And you know, it's mentioned in the Holy Quran that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it grants satisfaction, peace and tranquility to one's heart.
Yes.
So what other acts are there that if a person does, it will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Any form of ibadah,
mm-hmm.
any form of worship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will attract His mercy
mm-hmm.
because you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything right. that you do that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you, then you must know that you are attracting His mercy. Take for example, recitation of the glorious Quran. How much of reward there is just for reading maybe a few letters, one verse of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting reward, plus you are rewarded by receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, sadaqat, charity,
yeah.
spending in the path of Allah jalla jalaluhu, you are looking after an orphan,
mm-hmm.
you are helping another Muslim who's going through some great difficulties in life, you are removing their blockages in life, that
right.
person will make dua for you.
I
we ask know. People to make dua for us. We ask the pious people, ulama ikram. That's also a way of receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we make dua for ourselves also. Don't forget that.
Right.
That we make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu for His forgiveness, for His mercy, for His blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in need of these things. We are not free from it. Yes, we must do our best to do good deeds. But at the end of the day, we rely upon the mercy of Almighty Allah to accept those good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of our efforts,
right?
But because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also on the day of judgment, a person will only enter Jannah out of the mercy of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So basically, you know, whatever a good deed a person does for thee with this niyyah, that I'm doing this good deed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu
yes,
wa ta'ala, that will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, reciting the Holy Quran is one. Devotion towards the masjid, you know, frequently visiting the masjid.
For men, yes.
Yeah, for men, yes. And it's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one who frequents the masjid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person his beloved.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So we should also, you know, visit for the menfolk out there. Frequent the masjid. Always go to the masjid for our 5 times daily salah. If there is ijtima, dhikr or naat, mashallah, all of it attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Munasab, we have this part where in what we do, the good that we do attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, on the other hand, we have that if a person does certain bad deeds, then it will deprive a person from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that number one, a person being continuously sinning, that of course deprives a person from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also have another, being disobedient to one's parents, Masa. You know, children often take this lightly that they can speak to their parents anyhow, Masa. So if you could, mashallah, give some short elaboration on this aspect over here.
Well, in short, any sin that a person commits and does not make sincere tawbah, then that is a cause of deprivation from Allah's mercy. Whether the person neglects to perform their salahs, or indulges in earning of haram, or disobeys parents, as you mentioned, and whatever sin it is, these are reasons to deprive oneself of receiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy.
Allahu Akbar. Also, the views of Madani Channel, Munasab just mentioned, you know, disobeying one's parents and committing sins in general. And there's also another one, that is severing family ties, cutting off family ties. And in this regard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend to the nation which has a relation severing person.
Allah.
Yeah, we need to take all of this into consideration when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, shower me with your infinite mercy. At the same time, we need to abstain from those things that deprive us of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and get ourselves more inclined to doing those acts which attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will be back. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures.